Good evening and welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. It must be 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday evening because we're here. We got a studio loaded with talent tonight. And as you know, you long-term listeners, we basically have a program for an hour which talks about small business owners and the perils and the euphoria that they go back and forth with through the years. And what we do, we're business coaches. When I say we, it's my partner, long-standing here. 18 years we've been together doing business coaching. He's probably one of the best partners I could have ever asked for, in a business setting, of course. And we basically take from our daily, that's our day job, our daily encounters with our owners, and we take the situations that they're dealing with, and we talk about them in different ways on our radio show once a week here, and we have a lot of fun doing it. And we also take topics that are of interest to small business owners, and with that we also make programs out of that. We also, in addition to that, we bring guests that are small business owners who have very interesting backgrounds and stories to tell. And we have one tonight, Elizabeth Sappel from All City Candies. And she has a very interesting background and an interesting company. And we're going to hear all about that tonight. So with that, I'm going to give you Adam Sunhalter, my illustrious partner over here.
Those big words, Jack. Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody, to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. As Jack said, we do. We have a guest, Elizabeth Sappel from All City Candy. You can learn more about it either by going to allcitycandy.com or go visit them over in Richmond Heights or on Richmond Road over there. A fantastic store. If you like sweets, and if you like think about the sweets from the old days, you're going to learn more about that. You can have a lot of fun. Every kind of candy or sweet treat you can think of is there. And it's dangerous to go in there sometimes, but you got to make sure if you go in there, you'll be hungry. It'll be a lot of fun. If you have questions or you want to be part of the show, you're always welcome to be part of the show. And the way to do that is call in here at 440-946-9468. Again, 440-946-9468. So, Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Adam.
We're looking forward to letting everybody kind of hear your story, but we always like to kind of start with just a quick background of people to give them a little sense of kind of, you know, where you grew up and kind of your upbringing and all, you know, kind of what were you doing before All City Candy? So give us a little bit of a history of that to kind of let our audience get to know you here a little bit.
I'm born and raised in the Cleveland area, stayed here my whole life. My background, so I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My father, my parents own a grocery store in Lakewood, still run, my brother runs it. And I grew up working. I don't know anything different. So started following my dad around.
Our kind of woman.
Absolutely. I'd go to the market with him 4 a.m. in the morning, pick up produce. I just loved hanging around, following my dad around, and just loved learning the business from a little girl on up.
Okay. Right. So you grew up with that and figured that was just kind of normal how things were, not knowing any different. Like, hey, this is what everybody else is doing, but it was a normal part of your life. So that was how you kind of got exposed to business for the first time. And so, as you had that, did you just jump right into owning your own thing, or what happened after, you know, as you started to kind of grow up?
So I can distinctly remember being 5 and thinking, oh, I want to own my own business. So it's been a lifelong dream to own my own business. But, you know, life gets in the way of living, and you don't always follow your dreams. But I started writing business plans when I was 20. Just had a tough time pulling the trigger, just always distracted with either other opportunities, but didn't always have such a great support system. So it was a while ago, and my father was old school. He's like, no, you should go work with your husband, or should go do this. But basically, I was kind of discouraged to open my own business. But really, that's all I ever wanted to do. So I kept writing the business plans, but I kept getting distracted. So I've had a great career. I've got no complaints. I was in the nonprofit world for the last 10 years, but I worked in medical offices.
What did you do with the nonprofit?
So I was executive director of a synagogue for 4 years.
Okay.
And then I did finance for the Maltz Museum. And I did some event planning. I did a lot of volunteer work. So I've had this very broad background, always in management, which was great.
Sure.
Because I always got to, I always was in management, so I got to set the culture. So I was very big on having the right culture, teamwork, building a team that would get stuff done. So that's what we did. But as I got older, and I still haven't followed my passion, my true passion of opening business, I needed to make a decision, right? So I was getting very close to 50, right? And I'm like, okay, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. So I went to the bank with 3 business plans, and the candy store was actually the one they liked the least.
Oh, you had 3 separate companies, 3 business plans?
I had 3 different business plans. It really wasn't about what the business was. It was more of I wanted to run my own business.
Okay.
But when I talked to family, friends, the candy store is what made people smile, right? So everybody had a candy story. I bet you have one. I bet you have one.
Sure.
Right? Whether it be something from your grandparents or your parents or, there's something. Everyone has a candy story. The corner store, the candy store they used to go to. But also, people's faces light up when you talk about a candy store,
right?
And memories. Oh. So I'm like, all right, well, got to be the candy store.
That's it. Right. That's it. Yeah, my face sure smiles and lights up when you walk in here with candy.
Yeah, how can you not?
Exactly. Even if you're grouchy, it turns people. It's neat. That's
right.
A nice thing.
It's like dogs with dog treats, right? They see all dog treats coming out, and we're all excited. So that's our version of doggy treats,
that's
Jack.
That's right.
We're
that's
good.
Exactly
that's
right.
That's a very good analogy. I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. So it's colorful. It's fun. People are already happy. So I'm thinking, all right, so customers are happy. I don't have to give them candy, right? They're happy. And it's colorful. It's fun. I figure, okay, I can market this. And it is easy to market because it's whether you're talking about emotion or something new or something sweet or for a gift. There's so many reasons to add a little sweetness to whatever the day is. Maybe it's just a bad day and you need a candy. Right? It could be a holiday. It could be an event. There seems to always be a reason to have some candy.
It's interesting. You talked about the idea of wanting to be in business, right? And it's one of those things that you look now, there's a lot of entrepreneurial classes that exist. Like if people go to college, you can take like an entrepreneurial path, right? But usually that path is geared towards somebody who's got an idea. Like I have an idea for a type of company I want to have, and they'll help you kind of form that, right? The idea of just kind of learning how to run your own company, it's not really kind of taught anywhere, right? So your point is saying, hey, I don't necessarily care what the business is. I just know that I want to be in business. And so I'm trying to picture, because we aren't huge fans of business plans. The business plans are usually, it's not real in terms of how things start to kind of go.
Oh,
right?
No, it's not.
But big academic pursuit. The language that most people don't understand and never really use.
It's made up.
That's right. Yeah.
It's a guess. I mean, my business plan was a total guess. I mean, I did the research as best as I could, but...
I'm trying to picture you walking into the bank with not one, not two, but you got 3 plans, right? So how does this... It's like the guy in the coat selling watches. Okay, I got over here on the right side, I got this. Okay, let's go over on the left side. Wait, hold on, I'm back over here, and I'll... So was it...
You're right.
Okay, you're going through research.
Now that you put it like that, that is awful. Boy, did I really mess up.
Oh, but did you tell them, hey, I have 3, or it's like, wait for this... Okay, if you say no to this one, I'm going to go to the next one, or how did that meeting kind of go?
Well, the first bank I approached was somebody who... So just somebody I knew who was in banking, and I met with him and a couple of his people.
Okay, so somebody was somewhat safe that you kind of knew.
Okay, so before it was the bank I ended up going with for the loan, but I sort of felt them out. I'm like, okay, just meet with me and talk to me and tell me, am I in the right direction?
Okay.
I agree. Business plans, it's a bunch of gobbledygook, okay?
Right.
But you have to have it or they won't talk to you.
Yeah,
right?
It's like taking a pulse for somebody. If you can do a business plan, you must have something between your ears. So that's probably the test that they do it for.
It is a test. It's definitely a test. But, what it did give me was the opportunity to do some research. right? And what, and I talked to all kinds of different people that were in candy business or that type of business. So I had a really good idea of where I wanted to be and approximately what I could expect in revenue. Maybe, you know, again, kind of guessing, but thinking about how much product, it's total guess. I mean, it totally is.
Right.
But I went with some figures that other people were using. I drove out to Michigan. I talked to a guy. I mean, I tried to do as much research as I could. Again, different market, different area. But I felt pretty prepared as much as you can, not really knowing.
Well, given your background, you said you spent several years you're in financial positions, so you understood stuff. Most owners don't understand numbers at all.
Oh, yeah.
So to talk about their P&L or balance sheet or cash flow, and again, that stuff, it's something that was almost second nature to you at that point because you've been through it enough to kind of be able to talk that language.
Oh, yes.
That in and of itself probably gives you tremendous credibility when you're talking to a bank. Not only that, plus I think, maybe the plan thing comes down to, everybody has that idea, right? So I saw that cereal bar. I had the idea of a cereal bar 20 years ago, and you're going, great. Everybody's got, 10 ideas a day. That's fantastic. But to take it from the idea stage to where it's actually in somebody's hand and they're eating it, I go, there's a lot to that, right? So
it's a lot.
So I think part of the business plan, probably that process is going to be, hey, let's kind of see how interested are you? Are you willing to put some time and effort into this point? And what you're touching on, Elizabeth, is the market research is the key part when you're starting anything to kind of, because you said it's a guess, right? But the more people you talk to, from folks who are already in the business doing stuff to potential customers, just the more folks you talk to, you can get a sense of stuff versus going totally blind. At least you have a sense of, versus, hey, this is what I like. Well, I'm glad you like it, but we aren't necessarily the best focus groups ourselves, right? So that's, it's an important way to kind of get things started. Say that market research people often will overlook. And it's one of the hardest things with a pure startup because you don't know.
Right.
Right. If you go in to buy a company that's existed, you at least have a track record to kind of to look at and see what was going on. So your guesses at least get a little bit better. But yeah, you're doing it from scratch. So, okay, so you go in and you present these kind of three ideas and they're saying, okay, we like these two are okay. That third one of the candy store isn't, it's okay, but if we had to choose, that'd be our least favorite. And you said, okay, thanks. That's good. That's good to know. And let me digest that and come back.
And then I did more research, right? And they were probably right. But that's what made people happy. And then, so at that point, I've done my market research. I have a good idea what the business could do if I have the product and I set it up right.
Right.
But what market research doesn't do is how do you play on people's emotions, right? So how are you going to get them to actually come in, not just once, but come in repeatedly?
Right.
And what really what it boiled down to is people were happy. Like, they were excited. And, in this market that's changing every day with online shopping and that, you got to have something that excites people. They're not coming.
Right.
And we also sell online. So our online is our biggest growth opportunity right now.
Okay. Does that account for the majority of sales now?
Not yet, but it will. So that was also part of my market research. So when I was doing my market research, I knew retail because I grew up in retail, mm-hmm. even though I had gone away from it.
Sure.
When you're born and bred it, you kind of know it.
Absolutely.
I didn't know online, right? Knew nothing about e-commerce. But again, I did a whole bunch of research on e-commerce, and I'm like, okay, that's where the real business is, but I didn't know how to get there.
Okay, so let me pause you right there because we're coming up on our first break. It's a good place to kind of – so we've got all the planning, folks. We're kind of getting some stuff started. We've had a few discussions with the banks, and we're kind of getting ready to launch, and it's very easy after that. And we'll talk about how easy it was to get the first location and get things kind of started.
That was
easy. I'm kind of sarcastic, folks. No, we'll see how. That's just the first hurdle in kind of getting stuff started. So stick around. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
You are sarcastic. I'm Jack Mancini. And if you want to be part of the program tonight, 440-946-9468.
All right. Stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
And we're joined in studio tonight by Elizabeth Sappel, who's the owner of All City Candy in Richmond Heights. And we were starting in the first segment. She's given us a little bit of background in terms of her family history of having grown up in an entrepreneurial family with a grocery store and understanding retail, and then always wanting to be a business owner, but it took a few decades for her to get there as she got distracted. I believe the quote you said was, life gets in the way of living,
right? Yes.
Which is a great quote. And so,
very true. That's a very true, simple statement.
Mm-hmm.
But Elizabeth, you were very committed to becoming an entrepreneur, to have your own thing. And so I think you're probably an overachiever, is my guess, because you went to the bank with three business plans, not one, and ready to kind of go. And so we were talking before about, okay, so you're getting all kinds of research done, and you decided to go with a candy store. And so that was the first step. Then the bank said, okay, we're willing to loan you money to kind of get started, and then we just kind of go, and we start day one. Or how does it go from the business plan to where you're opening day one? What was the process like to kind of make that happen, some of the hurdles you had to go through? Because I know I was joking on the way out that
yeah.
It was no problem. It's open up the next day, ready to go. It was a little bit more difficult than that. So give people a little sense of how difficult or some of the obstacles that were in the way for you.
Yeah, you got to really want it. There was just many roadblocks, including the bank. Okay, so they didn't want that idea, but they didn't really want to give me money either. So they didn't want to loan me money. First bank said no. I went back to the bank that I went to these ideas with. They said no. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this, all right, regardless. So what do I need to do for you to say yes? And it's not pleasant. They make you sign away everything. So they'll loan you the money, but they're going to get their money back regardless.
Absolutely.
You got to be prepared. You've got to you've got to be prepared to invest everything you have, which I did, and be willing to lose it all. And that's scary. Thank God I have a really supportive husband who's like, you got to do it. And he's backed me up the whole way. So basically you sign everything away. And then once you get the commitment from the bank, so I had my financial plan. I thought I knew how much I needed. Of course, you always need more than you think you need. Again, business plan's a total guess. So let's say the bank, and then there was finding a location. And okay, I want to open a 5,000 square foot candy store, right? That's a lot of real estate.
That's a lot of store. That's right.
So now I got to find a space, and I got to find someone who's going to rent to me. Negotiated on 7 spaces before I had to widen my area that I was willing to look. So I was very, very, I wanted to be in a very certain area, but no one would rent to me, even though I negotiated. We have 6,000 square feet, but here's the problem with that space. There's several in that you either find a really small space or you find a really large space. So I needed that in-between space. Well, most places don't, which is interesting. There's a lot of those spaces because it's awkward. You know, it's too small for like a pharmacy, right? And it's too big for most everything else.
Like a dry cleaner or something like that.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
So you think that they would more negotiate with me because they've got these empty spaces.
Find somebody wants this. Yeah, right.
But I found that most landlords just didn't want to rent to a risk. I was a risk. I had no proven track record. I was a nonprofit at this point. They're like, okay.
Hey, is this really? Lady real?
Yeah, if you flip it around and you're that landlord, that's how you'd be evaluating it.
Exactly.
Right.
You're saying, wait a minute, you'd rather have this place empty than have me in here paying your rent? Help me understand this, right? I'm sure you're ready to probably tackle somebody at that point, right?
It's like I was amazed. I was shaking my head. In fact, 5 years in, every space that I negotiated on, except for one, were still empty. Right? And what I learned, though, also was a lot of these spaces that are empty, they're still getting paid rent, right? So they're looking for national chains, like an AutoZone or Software. You know, when they decide to move across the street or build their own building, they're still paying the rest that are leased out. So a small person, they know if I go out of business, they're not getting the rent.
Right.
That was an issue. So I opened up my span and ended up in Richmond Heights, which I hadn't even thought about Richmond Heights, even though it's 10 minutes from my home. It wasn't like an area that I spent a lot of time in. Found a space, needed to be totally gutted, but that was fine. But I found a landlord that was awesome. He's still awesome, right? So he worked with me. He knew the value of keeping his strip full, and his strip is very full. The only one in that whole area that is always full, because he's a good guy and he works with small business owners. He wants to see us succeed. So I found a space. And then the work began. So, so yes, the loan was painful, really, really painful. There's a lot of paperwork, and you gotta, you gotta really want it. That's all I can say.
How long did it take you to find a space? I mean, months, or were you able to condense it into a month or a month and a half? It
took me a year and a half to find a space, and so this
So you got the bank financing approved.
I had to go through that twice because it's time. It expires.
Okay.
So finally I find the space. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's not working anymore. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So then the painful process again, it's like, oh, I'd rather give childbirth again. It was so bad.
Wait a minute.
No, it's bad. It's bad. So
you got a lot of good quotes tonight. It's good. Keep it going.
So it was very discouraging.
Sure.
Very discouraging.
That's a long time of frustration, rejection, and yeah.
A lot of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because about a month before I found that, I even said to my husband, I'm like, okay, I was getting job offers that I was turning down or postponing. I finally said, okay. But I don't find this, I'm giving it 30 more days. And after that, I'm just taking a job because I can't keep. It was a year and a half of me like really lining
full
everything
time
up.
Looking for the stuff, right? Trying to make the stuff happen. Okay.
And then the space. So I don't know. I must have put that on the universe. It's now or never, guys. But it worked out great. And I found it. First year. So, yeah, then we did the build out and all that stuff. It was very discouraging.
So how close was the first year in business, actual, versus the plan you'd kind of laid out in terms of?
Nowhere near what I planned
nowhere
out.
Near, okay. So it was so much better, so much worse.
I missed the mark by about, 25% of what I expected.
Okay, that's not the worst. Going from a blank sheet of paper, that's not
right.
bad. Not bad at all.
But also, my expenses weren't as high as that I anticipated, so I still lost money that first year, but not horribly. It wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't the revenue I expected, but my expenses weren't as high. I didn't need as much help as I thought I would need, but I learned so much. It took me about a year and a half before I saw any type of profit.
Okay. That's not unusual. People think, your point, it's so easy. Just kind of go start the thing up and open it up, and people show up, and the profits just kind of go in. It's like, it's not always that simple. So.
Well, and I knew that. I budgeted not to make money that first year either, so that was fine. I actually budgeted to lose money, and I lost a little less than I budgeted, even though my revenue wasn't as much as
good.
I budgeted. So, I wasn't feeling great about that. I mean, you can put it on paper, but it still doesn't feel great.
Yeah, it's kind of like losing a game. Okay, we only lost by 10 instead of 50. Okay, we still lost, right? It's okay.
Exactly.
Right. So it doesn't hurt as bad, right? Or we're closer. We have a way to kind of get back there. But yeah, okay.
Exactly. But perseverance, right? I had a really good manager. I had a director of marketing, and I had some good staff, and we just kept getting up in the morning and kept doing our thing, and we learned. I mean, boy, we learned so much. Now we're six and a half years in, and so from that first year, our business has. Oh my gosh! Now I gotta do a little
math
here. Yes,
that's okay.
Quick math.
We've we're four times more than we were that year, that first year. So yeah, we're doing pretty fantastic.
That's a very nice growth path to kind of go mm-hmm. through that. And I think to your point, you kind of, I'm sure you haven't looked at the business plan in a little while. In fact, I'm sure a couple weeks into opening the business, you kind of probably got thrown aside because your point is you get in there and start making things happen. That's where all that learning starts to happen. And that's, we often encourage people, they say, go get a business plan. It's like, look, get an idea of what you want to do this week, this month. Okay, and then start doing stuff, because you start to do stuff, you're going to learn so much more by just engaging with stuff versus trying to think about stuff or pontificate. It's like, let's go try this stuff and see, and be able to trial and error and see how things kind of go, and learn mm-hmm. pretty quickly is a good way to go. All right, so up against our next break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, if we mentioned in the opening here, Elizabeth was also a graduate of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program. So we're going to spend the next segment kind of talking through that. It's our kind of Goldman 10 for 10 corner here. We'll talk about her experience with the program, and then we'll get back into some more of the success stuff as well. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
And stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, wintradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
Hello, Adam. I'm Jack Mancini.
Hello, Jack.
All right, so we're here in our Goldman 10 for 10 corner. We've got Elizabeth Sapel from All City Candy, and she's going to share with us her story about her experience with the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program. And so we always like to kind of start out, Elizabeth, because, again, for our listeners here, it's always helpful, I think, to have them have you explain kind of where you were at when you heard about the Goldman program, just to kind of say, hey, you know, here's what I heard about, and this is what I was hoping to kind of maybe get out of. So give them a sense of kind of where were you in the business, and how did you hear about the program, and to where you said, hey, boy, it sounds like a great idea for me to spend a day plus a week for the next 13 weeks away from the business and kind of go into class during the day, right? So what could make that seem like a great idea? How'd that all kind of come about for you?
So the funny part is I actually heard about Goldman Sachs way before I was in business.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, this is a great program. I'm like, damn, I'm not a business owner.
I don't qualify. Uh-oh. Okay, right.
So that's funny. But I always loved business. So I knew about the program. And I was in the business. So one of the things I did before Goldman Sachs and right before I launched, when I was getting really, really discouraged about not launching quicker, I went to this program, Bad Girl Ventures, and that was also a three-month program. Okay. And that was more to keep motivated, but that was a good program. And then, so I'm in my business not quite 2 years, and at that point, Goldman Sachs had a two-year, you need to be in business 2 years, you needed at least, you know, you had to have employees.
Certain employees, certain amount of revenue.
Right. Okay, so I met all the criteria except for the 2 years thing. But somebody else who had gone through Goldman Sachs said, just apply anyways. It was somebody else who I went to, because I'm always talking to business owners. And this was somebody who had an online business, and I was still trying to crack the code on online. So I'm like, hey, can I pick your brain? And he told me about Goldman Sachs.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't qualify. He's like, just apply. So I did, and I went to the interview, and I got accepted.
So just a quick aside. So was the interview for Goldman worse than the banking interview, or was it better than the banking interview in terms of, again, you're comparing it to childbirth. So I'm trying to get a sense of how tough they are, because I know they do a pretty good examination from what I understand.
Yeah,
so.
Nothing's worse than a bank.
Okay, an
SBA bank loan is painful. All right.
So you got the bank and the government. Okay, yeah, right.
Okay. No, but it was interesting. It was nice to go through the interview process with Goldman Sachs. We're talking about educators that have business backgrounds that really just want to help the small business owner grow, and they have so many great stories from all the people that have gone through it
previous.
I didn't find that was painful at all, but I did really want it. So okay. Then you've got the, okay, I've interviewed, and I hope I get in. You got the little waiting period. Hope they like me.
Right.
You know, and then you get the, look, I can't remember what it was, call or email, but it's like, yay, hey, they like me.
A little happy dance. Okay, we got it. All right, I fooled them. Okay, we're in. Let's go, right? So going in, so you're getting ready to walk in that first day.
Mm-hmm.
What were you hoping or expecting maybe to get out of the course? And did you have any concerns or reservations kind of walking into it in terms of, gee, I wonder if, you know, whatever it might be. Can you give us a little sense of what your head was like kind of walking in that first day?
I had no reservations at all. I am really a self-learner. So for me, I'm always looking for opportunities to grow professionally and personally. So anytime, anything that's offered to me, I'm jumping on it, right? And here they're offering you this free 3-month growth opportunity class. How can you turn that down? You know, you have homework, you've got to do the work, but okay. I mean,
yeah,
they're investing
great
in me.
Great learning experience, absolutely. Just a tremendous opportunity for you.
Right. I mean, the biggest thing people say is, you know, you need to get out. You gotta get out of working on your business to working in your business to working on your business. So at that point, I was working like all the time.
Right.
And it actually helped me get out of working in the business a lot. To give you 3 months of spending a full day not in your business and working on your business was a total new mindset for me. And has, I truly believe, continually educating myself and getting out of the business on a day or two of the month to work on my business, with whether it was Goldman Sachs or now I'm an entrepreneurs organization, and really working helps me refocus. And when talking to other business owners, getting their take on things and having a network of business owners when something comes up to say, hey, I've got a situation, or do you know someone who does this, or can you guide me to this? That has helped me propel my business.
Okay.
Yeah, you create good contacts, good relationships, and you extend your reach tremendously. So as you come up with problems in your company, you have somebody to call and who's been through it, or they can put you in touch with somebody who's been through it. Very important.
Yeah, and one of the other benefits of me getting out of the business and letting my staff has grown. I mean, empowering my staff to rise up and take charge has been probably the single reason my business is growing, because of my leadership team. Letting me step back and saying, what do you think? All right, go for it.
I'd agree with that. You know, and we've coached hundreds of clients we've hundreds of small business owners, and that is primarily the biggest thing. You know, if you give your leadership team the reins, they aren't going to disappoint you very often, you know, and that allows you the freedom to really stretch and bring back ideas and look at the world differently. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't necessarily sure kind of going in, other than knowing that your point, like you're mm-hmm. a lifelong learner, you figured you'd learn stuff in this program. People you talked to talked very well about it. And you kind of knew, hey, for my own health and sanity, I got to be able to get out of the business, and this is going to force me to at least be out of it for a day a week, you know, to kind of get away from it. So you kind of thought going in that was okay. Let me jump in, and we'll see what kind of happens. And so, as you look back on it, so some of the better benefits actually wound up being not only you being out, but you being out all of a sudden led to your team doing well, right? It was almost like you hadn't even necessarily thought about that, but also the fact that, hey, well, I can't just call Elizabeth or text her and see what's kind of going on, because she's not going to respond. She's not available. So I have to now answer this question or do whatever I'm going to do, and realize, well, maybe I'll mess up. Maybe I do okay. Maybe they may have a better idea than she would have anyway. Whatever it might be, all of a sudden you started to see them start to grow with you being gone. So was it the point where after the class was done and you came back, were they saying, well, why don't you go somewhere else on Fridays? Were they trying to keep you out? Was it to that point or no?
I don't think they're trying to get me out, but my team has evolved as much as I have, and that has been even more empowering than my self-learning. I mean, there's no better feeling than watching your team grow, okay?
Right. And I know what you mean,
It is beautiful, I don't know. It's like being a proud mama, right?
Yeah.
So I always say my business is like my seventh child. So my husband and I have we're a combined marriage and we have six kids together. So the business is number seven.
And it's probably your favorite. We won't tell the kids that, but it's probably your favorite. It's okay. They don't need to know that.
That's okay. Yeah, right. Tell them.
So I want to bring back the Goldman thing. Just remember, we'll get into other things here in a second. But on the Goldman front, guys, this is our Goldman 10 for 10 corner. Right.
Right.
So as you go through that, you had a lot of very good, kind of good learnings. I know the growth plan you mentioned is a big part of what they do. So for you, was the growth plan a key thing for you? Did you take whatever that growth plan was you kind of pulled together in the Goldman program and started to implement that? Was that helpful, or was it something that was a separate that didn't happen, or what was your growth plan for?
No, I did implement it. But another thing that I got out of it was you got to keep evolving your business, right? So I had this plan. So I've had other growth opportunities come my way, and I don't know, I kind of look at them now. Now I look at them as, okay, it's sort of like doing a mini business plan inside your business. And that was cool to go through that exercise. That growth opportunity that I worked on while I was in class was a little successful, not as successful as it could have been, but mostly because I felt there was other areas when I was done that I could spend energies on and generate more revenue.
Right. Okay.
So we still have that implemented in place, and it's a small part of our business, but that also helped me look at other revenue generating streams and where to focus my energy.
Okay, and it gave you kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of gave you the framework, to your point, to how to look at an opportunity and say, okay, let's plug it through this and let's see. We kind of know what to do and say, hey, this is going to be worthwhile, not worthwhile, and we should see what the potential is going to be. So that framework and that thinking was very helpful for you kind of going forward, which is fantastic. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how many years ago did you graduate? It's been a couple of years now, 2-3 years, something like that?
Oh, yeah. So it's been...
Well, if you were 2 years, that's probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Close to 5 years.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So as you look back on it now, if you think about it, is there anything that you wish maybe they had done either different as part of the program or maybe even after the program? It was a great program. It sounds like you're very excited about it. But, hey, if I reflect upon it, I wish they had done this or offered that. Is there anything that kind of jumps out and says, hey, they could have done this to make it even better or make it stick more or be more helpful for me?
I thought the program was great. I had they signed you a business coach, and she was awesome. She met with me, kept me. She asked me the hard questions, right? She knew how to coach for sure. She called me on things like, I think you need to go deeper. so that was great. I wanted to stay involved afterwards, but I didn't feel their communication to alumni afterwards. It wasn't structured enough for me. And if I'm going to take time out of my business, let's get some stuff done. And I didn't feel we were getting things done. I think that's gotten better from what I heard, but by that time, they lost me.
The groups are normally left up to their own volition to come together after the 13 weeks?
I did try that, stay in touch with a lot of the cohorts that I was with.
Right.
We never really got it off the ground, but there is one guy in my cohort that does meet with a group of the Goldman Sachs alumni, not all from my cohort. They meet monthly. So I know there is a lot of merit to that. I've gone on to other groups, so I have a business support group that I rely heavily on. I like a very structured group. I don't want to go to something and feel like I'm wasting my time.
Mm-hmm,
I want to have a purpose. I want to know what my commitment is. I want a purpose, and I want to know there's something to benefit out of it.
Okay, that's pretty good. But it's amazing. It's such an intense program, for 13 weeks, and people will miss it then, right? It's one of those things like, well, I don't know if I have time for it, and you do it for 3 months, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we just drop. It's like, okay, great, thanks. And they kind of wave bye-bye. It's like, and stay in touch because they're on to the next one. So it becomes very tough for them. So, all right, so that was our – thank you for sharing your story, Elizabeth, on that front. So that was the Goldman Sachs 10 for 10 corner here about the 10KSB program. When we come back, we're going to talk about – in our last segment, we'll talk about some more stuff about All City Candy and stuff that she's had, some of the great successes she's had. She's already talked about some of those here. We'll talk about more of those in terms of also what the future holds for you, what's kind of going on with that. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
And stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
Hey, this is segment number four. We're going to learn all about business plan writing tonight. This is Jack Mancini.
Is that what it is? That's right. We've got the owner of All City Candy, Elizabeth Sapel, here in the studio with us, and she's been kind enough to start to share some of her story with us. And in the last segment, we were talking about the Goldman Sachs experience. I want to get back to some of the great success you've had. You've been in business now for 6.5 years, is that right?
Yes.
And you talked before about your team being a key part of it, but also you mentioned your support group in terms of folks you've always kind of reached out and gotten yourself outside of the business to try to find people that had to help you out. And I think that's been one of the keys for you in terms of being able to be successful, just to kind of get yourself out, to have people start to kind of challenge you, ask you kind of questions, hold you accountable, whatever the words might be, but just getting outside of yourself has been a big part of that. And it's interesting because you touched on how that's also helped your team. And I think it's funny because how we met you was through you investing in one of your team members. They'd come to a workshop at Jumpstart when we were doing it there, right? So, again, it's not something you just talk about. It's something that you live by, and you try to make sure you make your team better. Knowing if they're better, it's going to make you and the company better.
Absolutely.
And so I think all the wisdom you gained before you launched your company, I think, is a big part of, versus if you'd done it when you were 20, you wouldn't have maybe been aware of all those things,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And
no.
So I'm guessing a big part of that success you've had here is because you have that experience. You've been able to kind of get it focused and figure out what's most important to help you start to kind of grow this thing and make it happen. But I remember when we met with you and we were talking about some of the things, you mentioned how you really lack of sleep. And that's a big thing for you, right? So and I know that's a common problem for many entrepreneurs. So why don't you give people a little sense, what are some of those things that keep you from being able to fall asleep? Is it you have trouble falling asleep, or is it you'll wake up in the, during the night with some stuff, which one is it, one of those or both of them? But
no, I can fall asleep. I can't stay asleep.
Okay. So what kind of things are going through your head that make you pop up in the middle of the night?
It could be all kinds of stuff, but when you're a business owner, your mind just doesn't shut off. You can't leave it at the door. You live it. You just breathe it. But if I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm working in my sleep. It's not cool. It's not cool at all.
You do that. I mean, that's very common.
Yes.
You can get a lot done while you're sleeping.
Yeah, right. But in my head, I'm like doing all kinds of stuff. Or you'll have a thought. Usually I'll just pick up my phone and send myself an email to get the thought out of my head, right? So it's like somewhere. Otherwise, I'll obsess over it.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep is not my friend. I mean, I would like it to be my friend. I'm not very good at it. I'm not, and that's not bragging. That's actually it's kind of a complaint, I would say. I would like to figure that out.
Did this just start when you started the business, or were you always this way?
That's a good question. Now I think about it. I think for the most part, I've always been like that. I've never needed a ton of sleep. But now it's pretty pathetic.
Right. Well, I think part of what happens is, part of the beauty of small business is we can have an idea, whether it be in the middle of the night or in the morning or at night, whatever it might be, and we can then try it, right? Mm-hmm. And so you were involved with nonprofits, which are similar to big corporations in ways where there's often lots of committees and things that are going on, and you may have great ideas, but it may take days or weeks or months for things to start to happen. And so part of the excitement is, I think, when you have some of those good ideas, even your point, you think about it, and we talk about this all the time, Jack, the mind works. We aren't neurologists, but the mind works the way we plant those seeds in there, or you write it down, right? And all of a sudden it starts to kind of take life of its own. So you describe, I'm working in my sleep, right?
Yes.
So that's okay if you can program it and get those thoughts down, those ideas down. I recently set up another whiteboard in my home office to kind of, and I've try to discipline myself to make sure I clean it off every couple of days. I don't leave things up there, but it's a great way when it's blank. All of a sudden, I find ideas to kind of put up there and just kind of put them there. Just mm-hmm. often just getting it out of my head, I'm not carrying it around anymore. It's there.
Right.
And it starts to take on a life of its own. And now some ideas are awful, and like I take it and we tear it up and it gets thrown in the garbage. But sometimes it leaves a weight. I connect this one to that one. And the dots, we can never quite be sure which dots are going to connect.
Right.
And so as we're having those things, I remember growing up with an entrepreneur. And my dad always would keep a little note card in his pocket.
Yes.
And he'd reach out and he'd scribble something down and put it back. And I'm a young kid thinking, well, what the hell? Is the old man like losing it, right? What's going on? And so I asked him one day, right? And he goes, no. He goes, look, I said, I learned long ago that my mind's always working. And he goes, and it doesn't just contain to 8 to 5. He goes, so I know if when an idea comes, if I don't grab it and capture it somehow, I'm not going to remember it tomorrow morning. Somebody else will come up and I'll just forget it. So I dismiss myself to write it down and I'll come back to it later. But that way I can capture stuff. I think to me, that's been one of the things we've seen has been a key success for people. We see a lot of owners that will have volumes of books of stuff diaries where they're writing stuff down and where it's just, and some of us process that way. It's good to kind of just write things out. It helps. It's kind of can be very cathartic, but you can kind of work things through. And again, it just helps to progress because it's lonely as an owner sometimes too, where you're like, well, who do I talk about stuff? Well, I can talk to myself about it, or I can write it. Right, I'm having that discussion with myself.
Talking to yourself is usually the choice. You know?
Right. You know, so kind of learn some of those things. So I can see, you know, that sleeplessness is a common challenge for folks. So one of the things you mentioned was you're trying to figure out, because again, we have a retail store, but you talked about the online piece. Were there certain things that have been key for you as you're starting to kind of figure that out? Something you've gotten some good momentum on that.
Yes.
What do you see as you look out the next 5 or 10 years for All City Candy? What are you envisioning? Again, you're 6.5 years into this. I don't know if this is, further than you originally thought it was going to go, or if it's kind of on pace. But as you look out the next 5 or 10 years, what kind of stuff do you see for All City Candy?
So, that's a great question. I want to circle back to one thing you said about writing the stuff down.
Sure.
Because One of the things I used to do, and I don't do this anymore because I'm not allowed to, because my leadership team won't let me do this, but I used to come in with these ideas that I wrote down.
Okay.
Hey, I had a thought. Let's do this. That was the big joke. Oh no, she had a thought, and then everything would stop. Everything we were planning on do that day would stop, and everything would be shuffled around my thoughts.
Right.
So we weren't getting done what really we needed to do to actually propel the business where he wanted to, because I was getting in the way of my team.
So you're touching on what we talked about, people, about mm-hmm. the power of the owner and mm-hmm. the ability for you to disrupt everything, because when you say something,
oh yeah,
people have to respond.
It becomes
to it.
A priority.
Right.
That's
right.
Okay. So how long was that going on?
Oh.
Months? Years?
First yeah, years. Right. Years.
And who told you to stop it?
So
was one of your
the
people?
The team had, so they is, all came together in a clump and pushed somebody
intervention?
Forward.
It was an intervention? We got to bring her in and tell her this, guys. Who's gonna say it
It was
her?
My team, all right?
Okay, good.
So they joked about it, but they never really had, they didn't really tell me right to my face that I needed to stop. But last July, I brought an outside implementer to help me to implement EOS traction.
Right.
Okay?
Sure.
And really get more structure to my team. And my integrator, my number two in the business, at our first meeting hands me a notebook that she bought me, and it says, stay focused. And she says, here's what you're going to do. She says, every time you have an idea, you're going to write it in this book. You're not going to say it to us. You're going to write in this book, and we're going to meet once a month, and we're going to go over your thoughts, and we'll pick out what are,
fantastic.
Right. Fantastic. So the first time we meet, she reads the book. She goes, nope. Okay, we
You're
can
like,
talk.
Like, wait. This one's a really good one.
We can talk about this, and this, and then we'll go from there.
Very good.
That's good. I'm glad you shared that with us.
So
lesson learned for you too. You didn't realize the impact you have. You get excited about stuff, and
right.
you want to embed that excitement in them. And no, it's more work and disruption. I had a plan all set up for today, and now oh man.
So that was the first start of us really sitting back and thinking, where are we taking this company? All right, and we now have a 1-year plan. Uh huh. Go ahead.
1 minute.
Yes.
That's okay. I was giving you the 1 minute warning.
Okay. Well, so we have 1 year, a three year. So we have 1 year, 3 year, and we have a 10 year plan, right? So we have these targets and the goals and how we're going to get there. But it's really very focused on what will get us there. Now, not just my thoughts and my ideas.
Very good.
Tried and true stuff.
We have a lot of clients that have trouble with that. What they'll do is they'll email stuff. And we talked to them about it. Mm-hmm. Said, you got to understand, when you send an email, your employees feel the need to respond to it. I mean, whatever they were doing, even if they don't respond right away, it's in their mind and it's there. It's kind of there just poking at them, going, okay, I got it. And if the boss has new ideas all the time, I try to say, well, we'll just wait and see, because chances are, if I wait till later today, she'll probably change her mind and be on something else anyway, or tomorrow. So I'll just kind of let it go, you know, let it kind of go. So they learn how to kind of work their way around it to kind of function that way, right? It's
just,
it's impressive. We see it a lot, and it's coming from a good place. So that's why it's important. All right. Well, as we always say, this is often the fastest hour in radio and podcast sphere, and this is another fast hour. Elizabeth, we appreciate you coming in to share your story with us. It's never easy to do. We appreciate you doing it.
Thank you.
I know our audience certainly appreciates it. And we appreciate you listening again. If just a heads up for next week, we're going to do part two of our 7 key pitfalls to transitioning the business. We covered pitfalls one.
That was done months ago.
Yeah, it was done in late January, right? So we covered pitfalls 1 through 3. We're going to get pitfalls 4 through 7 next week, folks. We'll do that. So again, if you missed any of today's show or any of the prior shows, you can catch them all on our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or go to our Facebook page and you can see them there as well. If you want to get a hold of us in between, shoot us an email at radio@maximumvp.com. Hey, you can catch more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. I'm free.